Welcome to Christchurch Manchester Sermon Podcast. CCM is one church that meets every Sunday in various locations across Manchester. For more information about who we are or about our Sunday meetings, please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com.
So we are doing our Connect series, okay? The Connect series has basically been tackling this question: how does God connect with us? How does God connect with man? And we have had three different messages so far. We've seen that God connects with us, with mankind, through Jesus. God connects with us through the presence of the Holy Spirit. And last week, Tunde brought us a message on how God wants to and how he has connected with us through the church, through the establishment of the church. And I am going to be speaking tonight on how does God connect with us through the Bible. This is something that I have been really enjoying putting together. I'm a guy that loves the Word of God. I love to spend time in the Word of God. But it's not always been this case, okay? The first Bible, this was not my first Bible. Okay, the first Bible I ever received was a little red Gideon's Bible. Yeah, hands up if you know what I'm talking about. A little red Gideon's Bible. Two hands up if you've ever had. Yeah, I should have took a picture where everyone's hands up like that. It would have made it look like we were just so holy and crazy. That would have been amazing. But yeah, the first Bible I ever had was a little red Gideon's Bible. And I got that at around the age 12, 13, 14 years old. And I got it at the end of a school assembly. The Gideons had come in, they'd done a presentation. I'll be honest, I don't remember what they said or what they were doing. But they definitely said something. And at the end, they said, and here's a gift. Here's a gift. Here's a Bible. And everybody got one. Everybody got one. Now, I would love to tell you that the moment that I got that Bible, yeah, something really significant, like the moment I opened it, the divine revelation of God just burst off the pages, and it made my 12, 13, 14-year-old head and heart just completely go, wow, and I just said, yes, Jesus, I will follow you. But that isn't what happened, okay? Something significant did happen that day. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case. I'd love to say that that's what happened, but actually that wasn't what happened at all. No, what happened was, when I got this Bible, I realised everybody got one of these Bibles. So both the behaved and the non-behaved kids got one of these little Bibles. And we all put it away, we put it in our pocket, we kind of put it in our bag, and we went away. And so at break time, we all got together, and unfortunately, I hung out with the wrong kind of crowd. I was a bit of a rebel at school. Yeah, I know that. I look so holy, you know, look so holy right now, don't I, Jamie? Just, you know, you wouldn't think that there was a. What do you mean, no? I hung out with the wrong crowd at school, and these kind of people, they were not great for building up my character. I'm going to share you a story because I remember this really vividly. This was a significant moment in my journey with Jesus. Okay, we got together at break, and we all had our little red Bibles. And one of the guys, he opened up this Bible, and he tore a page out of it. He tore a page out of the Bible, and he laid it in his hand. And then he went into his back pocket, and he got a cigarette. And he took out all the dry tobacco, and he put it inside the paper. And then he got a little bit of marijuana, and he put that inside, and he rolled up this piece of paper, he put it to his mouth, and he lit it. He took a big puff, and he took another big puff, and he passed it on. And I'm stood there in this circle, and I can see it being passed on one after another until it got to me. It got to me, and I can remember vividly thinking to myself, I should not do this. This is not. I was nervous, I was tense, but I'm stood there in this peer group and peer pressure and social fear got the better of me, and I took big. And in, as I've done this, I'm thinking, what am I doing? This is not right. I'm just feeling this is just not right. And I just, the 12-year-old, 13-year-old thought, do you know what? This is rubbish. I'm just going to, and I just passed it on. And I dismissed it. Now, that sounds like it was quite an incident. It all happened in just a couple of seconds. But it did happen. And after that, just finished. But I took that little Bible and I put it in my bedside cabinet and I kept it. I didn't open it for a few years, but I kept it. But something happened that day. A few years later, at the age of 16, God would break down my rebellion and he would bring me into his family. At 16 year old, I heard the gospel. I heard the good news of Jesus. I heard that we had all sinned, including me, that we'd all rebelled, that we'd all done stuff against God that broke his heart. But the good news was that if I was to turn from that kind of way of living, from those thoughts, that if I was to accept Christ as Lord of my life, if I was to accept his forgiveness, if I was to turn and repent away from that old lifestyle into the embrace of God, if I was to trust the life, death and resurrection of Christ, that I could be brought into God's family. And I accepted that at 16 years old. At 16, I accepted that, and I was given a new crowd of people. And I was given my second Bible, which was an NIV Youth Bible. Yeah? Anyone have a NIV Youth Bible? Yeah? You still got it?
Maybe.
Yeah? Should have a look at it. It's interesting what you write in there. But I got my second Bible, and I was surrounded by people that would help me grow in character this time. And so what happened was, this time when I saw the Bible open, this time when I opened the Bible, I read it. And I read it. And do you know what? I kept reading it. And I kept reading it and I kept writing in it. Is that okay? Are we allowed in this church community writing our Bibles? That's all right. Yeah, good. I do that. I'm writing in the Bible and I'm highlighting it. And I'm writing down question marks every time Jesus says something weird, because Jesus says some weird stuff. And I'm writing a question mark in it, and I'm going to my pastor at about 10 to 10. We used to meet 10 o'clock till 12 o'clock on a Sunday. And at 10 to 10, I'd come in off the bus, and I'd say, Pastor, I've got this question about this. What about this? What's happening here? What does this word mean? And James, I'm speaking in 10 minutes. We'll talk afterwards. Okay, no, I've got to tell you now. I've been reading all through the week. And something was getting birthed inside of me. And I just couldn't get enough of the Bible. I was reading it all the time I had. And I remember another time in my life when I was in this moment. I was reading my Bible. I was about 17 years old. So not long had I been following Jesus. And I'm sat there on this bench at lunchtime. And I'm reading through Romans. And I come to Romans 8. Yeah? Romans 8 is a tough chapter in a lot of ways, yeah? But I came to the first two verses and I read this. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. And when I read that, I honestly can remember this. As I was writing this, it took me back. I remember sitting on that bench. And when I read those words, I recall the memory of standing in that circle with that scripture spliff. I remember thinking about that time. Now, I tell you honestly, I remember my heart sank. My heart sank. I was feeling so awful. I felt terrible. Here's this thing that I had found. I found this word of God. I found how exciting it was. I found how incredible it was to get to know who God is and get to know who I am in him. And yet, as I'm there, this memory just pops up like it's on the back of this. It's like it's on this screen here. It just pops up. I felt awful. And to be honest, I still feel a bit awful. I really haven't kind of fully gotten over it yet. I wish I hadn't done it, but it happened. And as I'm sat there, I remember I remember hearing God. And he didn't say, he wasn't like,
James, this is God. Take notice of my voice.
Kind of Star Warsy. That's how I kind of think that if God was going to do it, it'd be a bit Star Warsy. But it was no, it was a still, quiet voice in me. And he just said this. Read it again. So I'm sat there on this bench at lunch, and I've got this memory of how I've massively, massively messed up. And it's eaten away at me. Just said, read it again. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Then I read it again. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. And I must have read, I don't think I had enough ink in my pen to kind of underline and circle those two verses enough in that moment. Because something happened. In that moment, God was connecting to me through his word and into my situation. The word of God was connecting to me, into my memories, into the time, into my shame, into my despair, into my guilt, into my unworthiness. The word of God was connecting and speaking directly in me. In that moment, God had connected with me. He spoke to me directly through his word into my life and into my sin, and he told me something about who he is and who I am in him. The truth is, God is a speaking God. Amen? Yeah? God is a speaking God. And he speaks in many different ways. Yeah? He created man in his good pleasure that we may know him and that we may know his voice. Yeah? He created us so that we would know him and know his voice. A lot of you may know Naomi, my little daughter, less than 2 years. You may know her, but none of you know her like me. None of you know her like me. I thought you were going to run up at me then. That would have been absolutely perfect. That was your moment, Naomi. See, I know she was going to do that because I know her. You see, you've got this thing going on where I say, hey, Naomi, come make daddy look good. And she runs off and we talk about it later. But none of you know Naomi like me. None of you know the kind of cries that she has. She has multiple cries. Yeah, anyone who's a parent knows this. There's a cry of excitement. There's a cry of happiness. Yeah, there's a cry of, oh my gosh, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen, tasted, witnessed. Oh my days. There's that kind of cry. Then there's the I'm scared cry. There's the I don't really know what's happening kind of cry. And I'm able to discern the different kind of cries and discern how Naomi is because I know her. I know her voice. I listen to her voice. You may know Naomi, but you don't know her the way I do. And this is what the Word of God says in Hebrews. Hebrews 1, 1 through 3. If you're in your Bible, if you go to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 1, the very first three verses, Hebrews. God, who in various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. This verse in Hebrews starts with God. I read it from the New King James Version. You guys have got different versions. But does any other version start with anything other than God? No, because it's actually a really good place to start. If we want to know how God connects with us through the Bible, we have to start with God. Okay? Because we can get a distorted and disconnected understanding about how God does this when we approach the Bible in the wrong manner. Okay, we can approach the Bible in the wrong manner. We can approach it as if the Bible was written for me, as if it was about you or me, and it's just not true. When we ask things like, who am I? What should I do? How should I live my life? If that's our attitude as we come into the Bible. When we do this, we miss the main point of the Bible, in that the Bible is all about God.
Amen.
Yes, as we ask questions on, but who is God? Did Max just amen me?
Yes!
Yes. And it's on recording. It's on recording. Yes, Max, my man. The Bible is about God. When we come in and say, God, show me who you are. Show me your character. Show me how you would react. Show me. As we approach it in that way, yes, our questions get answered. But we have to start with God. It's the whole point of the Bible. Because the Bible is a book about God, and it's primarily how God speaks to us. But it's not like a book. When we say it's about God, yeah? I've got quite a large book collection. Someone says, oh, what's that? It's about this. And it's usually something quite historical, or it's a past event or something like that. That's not true of the Bible. Okay, it's more than a history document. The Bible is the very voice of God. Yes? It's the very voice of God. Whenever it is opened, whenever it is read, listened to, whenever the Bible is proclaimed, it is the voice of God beckoning. It is God speaking. Hebrews 4:12. Go to Hebrews 4:12. This is what the Bible, this is what God says about his word. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The word of God is living and active. This is why the Bible exists, so that God can be heard. The Bible exists so that God could be heard, so that he could be known, so that he could be examined, and ultimately so he could be loved. God wants to speak to you. God does speak to you. So how does God speak to us? Well, he does it in two ways. God speaks two ways, okay? He speaks broadly and he speaks personally. He speaks broadly, he speaks personally. He speaks broadly in two ways. The first way that God speaks broadly is through everything that has ever been created. God speaks through everything that has ever been created. Psalm 19:1 says this: the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. The heavens declare, and the sky proclaims. Every single thing that has ever been created, everything, trees, atoms, yeah, us, food, water, the wind, the elements, senses, relationships, marriage, education, everything that has ever been created declares that God exists, that he is the creator, and that he is glorious. That's the first way that he speaks broadly. The second way that he speaks broadly is through our central consciousness. And I can never say this word. I'm going to say it a few times here, and so this is going to be funny for us. He speaks through our created consciences. Because in our created consciousness, we have an objective standard of good and evil, right and wrong. Think back to that time in the circle. Yeah? Think back to that time in the circle. Why was I hesitant? Why was I feeling uneasy? Why was I nervous? All I had to do was just go with what everybody else was doing. Why was I so hesitant to do that? I think it's because in that moment, God was speaking through my created conscience. I wasn't aware of it, but he was speaking through my created conscience. The second chapter of Romans speaks of people like 13-year-old James and all unbelievers as those who, hear this, show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience bears witness and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them. When that was happening to me, God was speaking. I wasn't aware of it, but he was speaking to me broadly. So those are the two ways that God speaks. While God speaks broadly to all humanity through creation and through our consciousness, he then speaks directly, speaks uniquely, and he speaks personally through the Bible. In the Bible, God speaks to us of his purposes, of his intentions, and he reveals things to us that we just simply can't learn through looking at the world and listening to our internal creative consciousness. Where creation and conscience provide general knowledge of God's existence, God's character and God's law, the Bible provides clear and specific communication about his nature and plan. Okay? The Bible is a book that is boldly and clearly presenting who God is on every page. Every page declares the glory of God. In Genesis, it does this by placing God as the subject of a creation narrative. In Exodus, it places him in comparison to Pharaoh and the gods of Egypt. In the Psalms, David extols the Lord's power and majesty. The prophets foretell and proclaim of God's wrath and of his justice. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, the epistles, we're reading from one in Hebrews now, they unfold God's character in the person and life of Jesus. And Revelation, which is the final book of the Bible, it displays God's dominion over all things. The entire Bible, all of it, every single page is about God. And it's declaring and it's saying, this is who I am. When I was pursuing Luciane, Luciane is my wife. She's the gorgeous Brazilian in the group. Is she not here? I thought she might have had a smile on that. Could have been brownie points there, but nope. Dang it. When I was pursuing Luciane, I would ask lots of questions. I know you're like, no, not you, James. You wouldn't ask lots of questions. That's true. I would ask lots of questions. I would ask her about things that she enjoys. I'd ask about things that she hates. I'd ask about her family. I'd ask about her friends. We met in Dubai, so I'd say, how are you finding life in Dubai? I would ask about, what is it that excites you? I would ask about her work. I would ask about her dreams. I would ask lots of questions because I really, really wanted to know her. Because the more I got to know her, the more and more I was falling in love with her. That sounds a bit soppy, but it's true. The more I was getting to know her, the more I was falling in love with her. So I wanted to know more. And so I started to create situations. When it was my turn to arrange the date, yeah, I would create situations where Lucy and I would start to have conversations, okay? So it'd be a meal, or we'd go for a coffee, or why don't we, it's a cool night, we'll go for a walk, okay? Because I was trying to, I wasn't doing this to try and then get answers to manipulate anything. It's just, I simply wanted to know her more deeply and more intimately. I just wanted to know her. I was falling in love with her. I wanted to know as much as possible about her. So I would ask lots of questions about her. Now, when Lucy was like arranging the dates, it's only as I was writing this, I was thinking, we used to go to the cinema a lot. You can't really speak in the cinema. So it's probably to shut off all my questioning, really, to be honest. But it's a bit of a silly story, I suppose. But I believe that this attitude is similar to the attitude God wants from his people. Yeah, he wants us to connect. He wants to connect with us in a special and intimate way. He wants to connect with us in a way that would allow him to speak and allow us to listen. He wants us to engage with him and listen to his voice. And he's given us the Bible to do this. A healthy relationship, as any counsellor will say, has a high degree of listening involved within it. A healthy relationship has a high degree of listening involved within it. If you're going to listen, someone has to be speaking. Now, I admit, I'm still working on it. Okay, don't laugh too hard, Beverly. I'm still working on it. But if you're going to listen, someone has to be speaking. I believe that that's true of a healthy Christian. A healthy Christian is someone who loves to hear from and listen to God through the Bible. They are constantly taking in God's word. They're reading it alone, reading it with friends, reading it with family, reading it whenever they get an opportunity, reading it on lunch breaks. They're hearing it on podcasts. They're hearing it in sermons. They're singing it in worship songs. They just help. I truly believe a healthy Christian loves God's word. They are consuming it in any way that they can because they know that this is primarily the way that God speaks to us. This is primarily the way God speaks to us. He speaks to us in many ways. He speaks to us in many ways. He even spoke through the voice of a donkey. Yeah? He speaks to us through a donkey. Can do. But he primarily, for us now, he primarily speaks through his word. If you go to the book of Acts, Acts 17, give me a quick second to find that. Acts 17. Verses 26 to 27. If none of what I've said already kind of helps you understand that God has designed us in order that we would connect with him, that he would connect with us. Listen to what Paul writes in Acts 17. He says, "And he," this is God, "he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place." Yeah? Why did he do this? Why did he do this? Here's the answer. He did this that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each of us. God made from one man every nation of mankind that we should seek him. God's created us, he's created you, he's created me. He's created us that we would seek him. Do you know what God's desire is and God's purpose for speaking to us is? His purpose is that God wants friendship with us. God wants friendship with us. That might sound really radical, but God wants to be yours and my friend. This is why he's created us as rational beings. We bear his image. We're able to think and hear and speak and love. He wanted there to be a genuine personal affection and friendship that was two-sided. It wasn't just him saying something and us doing it robotically. It was a relationship, a friendship between him and us. J.I. Packer writes this. Listen to this. I just thought this was such a brilliant description. We're coming into close. And J.I. Packer is a great theologian. And he wrote this book, it was about 60-odd years ago, called God Has Spoken. And I've been reading it in my preparation. It's been really amazing. But this is what he says in relation to this idea that God, the purpose of the Bible, the purpose of God speaking, the purpose of God revealing himself through Scripture, is that he wants us to be friends. He says this: "The relationship between God and man is not like that between a man and his dog, but like that of a father to his child, or a husband to his wife. Loving friendship between two persons has no ulterior motive. It is an end in itself. And this is God's end in the Bible. He speaks to us simply to fulfill the purpose for which we were made. That is, to bring into being a relationship in which he is a friend to us and we to him. He, finding his joy in giving us gifts, and we finding our joy in giving him thanks." Isn't that beautiful? God wants to connect with us as friends, and his method for doing it is speaking. God's friendship with us begins and grows through speech. His to us is revelation, and ours to his is praise, prayer. He speaks the word. We receive it, we listen to it. We respond, "God, you're incredible." One of the most powerful statements that I've read over the last few years is God, from his word, answering my deep question of how can I do all the things that I've been called to do, that he's asked me to do. It's his word saying to me, "I will be with you." He said to me, "I will be with you." And I listened, and I believed it. And my response was, "Thank you. Because if you weren't, this ain't going to work. Thank you. Thank you, God. Praise you. Love you. Thanks for being with me. Thanks for never leaving me. Thanks for always being on my side. Thanks for every time I mess it up, you're there. You're not there judging me with a wagging finger, you're there like a loving father, picking me up. Right, let's go again. Thank you that you never leave me. That's the relationship that God wants with us. And that's just one example of just thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of ways that God speaks to us. So that's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask Jamie to come back up here. We're going to switch places again. But we're going to... God has spoken a ton of stuff already. He's spoken in his Bible about how he loves us, about how he sent his son as a propitiation of our sins, how his son was this sacrifice. He sent his son to die on a cross, to live a life that we can't live, to die a death that we deserve. And that as his divine power raised him from the dead, he then said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And that same power that raised my son from the dead is going to live inside you. That exact same power is going to live inside you. And so we've got an opportunity here to listen to God. We're going to sing some of words of scripture through some of the songs that we've got here. And I encourage us to respond in prayer and in praise, because God does want to connect to us. He does want to share things. He wants to share his heart. He wants to share about who he is, his grace and his mercy. And he wants to do it through his holy word.